We have three gardeners here with us today. Do you want to introduce them,
Melissa? Good morning. We have Betsy and George here this morning. And we're going to talk about protecting your garden from the wind and what to do in your garden right now. Betsy and George are here because they both have south-facing gardens with no defense from trees or anything. They're right on the water, so they are experts. If anybody's ever an expert in gardening here, they're experts on how to deal with the wind. But first, an announcement. Henderson Farms is looking for some more people to join their group. They have an amazing garden, both in terms of the location. It's on a south-facing slope. The production is amazing. They do, because it's a cooperative garden, they have a screening process to make sure that everybody that's coming in as new members will have sort of the same gardening ethics in terms of working and organics and all of those kinds of things. And anyway, they are looking for some new people. It's a great way for new gardeners in the area to learn a lot. So if you're interested, call Bob Lixt at 314-3076. So, George and Betsy, you both have gardens that are south-facing, not protected by the trees to the south. You have the wonderful advantage of lots of sun, but you have to deal with the summer winds. What challenges does the wind create, and what are some of the ways that you deal with it?
Okay, the wind. Well, it's been super windy, as everybody knows, this spring.
So it's been a tough year.
Yeah. And like as Melissa said, unfortunately for me, I have no other place to garden except on the beach. So there I go. I'm stuck with the wind. So if I'm on the beach, and I would not be able to garden if it wasn't for the fabric remay and making low tunnels. Everything would be dead. Probably putting all the transplants in, they wouldn't survive. So I use that Remay row cover, also called Agribon, that you can buy.
And did you get that locally, or did you order it online?
I ordered it online because I order a big roll of it to last me years.
Yeah. And last week, Mardell was talking about ordering Remay maybe and doing it in partnership with some friends you could share it.
Yeah, because it's expensive, obviously, for shipping.
And the wind tears the Remay to pieces after a year. Yeah. So you got to keep replacing it.
Yeah, right. How long do you find it lasts?
Mine usually, well, it depends on how many rips and tears and shreds you're willing to put up with. But it's probably best to replace it every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
I'd say the same thing, and I've actually duct taped and taped a little hole so that the like the root maggot fly can't get in, and you know, you've kind of tried to extend it. So I cover all my beds, like I said, and it also helps keep the soil temperature warm. It says about 10 degrees warmer, so that's really nice. It's a protective spot for the plants. And as George mentions about the wind.
Yeah, well, I use the Remay on the row covers, but I also, right after transplanting, I have some of those cloches. The bell-shaped clear plastic covers that you can put over. I do that in the evening because sometimes during the day it would get too hot. But I cover the transplants with those. And some of them I bought, and some of them I've made out of, the one-gallon water jugs, cutting off the bottom. And they have a nice, the top, they can vent through the top. And that really makes a difference. And you just throw those over there.
How do you weight those down?
Well, the commercial ones have a little rim around with little anchors that you can put through their little metal staples that hold them down. Mm-hmm. And those work really, really nicely. It makes a huge difference.
Have you ever made them out of old, like 1 gallon milk jugs?
Yeah, well, I use water, the clear 1 gallon containers.
Yeah, and there's also those cloudy milk jug ones. Would those work?
Well, in the evening, really, anything would work, right? I mean, it's actually, I mean, sometimes if it's really windy during the day, I'll leave them on, but you got to make sure that they're venting and it doesn't get too hot if the sun's out. Mm-hmm. You know, these glorious sunny days turn out to be disasters for your garden if you're in the south wind and it's blowing really hard, because the soil is drying out. Not only is the wind knocking the plants out, but they're getting really dry. The soil's getting dry, and the wind is sucking all the moisture out of the foliage. So you've kind of got a double thing going on. So I don't necessarily wake up and say, "Oh, it's a beautiful sunny day." First, I'll check to see if the wind is blowing out there, because it's for us the sun is a kind of a mixed the sun and the wind is a mixed blessing.
It's a tough combination. Yeah.
So that's where the Rime is nice, because it keeps the moisture in.
Because everybody says, "You're so lucky, your garden right there in the full sun," and I'm going, it's not always as good as it seems.
Right. Yeah. So I use when I do the Rime, I do tunnels, and I do that like plastic pipe and cut it. And, you know, you just make little hoops, and then you keep it tall enough so you can keep the Rime on till about end of June, early July, where the plants are strong enough. And also most of the flies that would lay eggs in the soil and cause problems are usually gone. But as George says, I've also pulled my Rime off, let's say my zucchini plants, and they stand up for a while, but the wind can still trash them even though they're full size.
Yeah.
You know, they can, and the moisture.
I cut. Also use a ground cover, like one of the biodegradable paper cloths, I think made of cornstarch. I cover the ground with it where I can, with crops that I can, and then cut little circles out for where I'm transplanting, because that ground cover not only keeps the weeds down, but it'll keep the soil from drying out.
So those are on beds that you do not cover?
No, I also cover.
And cover.
Yeah,
wow.
So yes, this I call it fortress gardening.
Yeah, you sure do.
Because often it's like three levels of defense.
For those of you new to Haynes, gardening here is a challenge, but people can be really successful. Betsy, with the low tunnel, you were talking about the bendable plastic pipe. That's the PVC pipe.
Right.
You get like quarter inch or half inch or something.
I think I do about an inch. You can do three quarters to an inch.
Something that you can bend.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you just put it down onto like little Rime posts. Rebar posts.
Yeah.
Or clamp it into the inside of a bed or something.
Exactly.
I was wondering if hula hoops would work. You just cut a hula hoop in half.
Yeah, might not be strong enough.
Might not be.
You know, I mean, for where we are.
Oh, gotcha.
But other places could do it. But we have to really anchor it down.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah. Good reuse of hula hoops.
Hula hoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah. Well, and the two of you are able to grow some things outside with all of your fortress gardening that my place with a north-facing environment, I just have it in a greenhouse. I don't even try.
Also, before we get off the topic of wind, I'd like to put in, you know, a good word for the wind. Although it wouldn't be wind, it would be more like a breeze, because a breeze can be very helpful to plants anywhere. And, you know, for one, that it keeps air moving around the plants, so it prevents a lot of the diseases. And it also helps strengthen, in the right quantities, you know, it helps strengthen the plants, the cellular structure as they're growing, because, you know, their internal mechanisms say, "Oh, we better, you know,
toughen up.
Yeah. But it has to be gradual, and especially when you're hardening off your indoor starts, you've got to gradually expose them to wind, and that way they'll strengthen. If you just put them out there and say, you know, toughen up, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you have compost fixings. Yeah. Now, some people, when they're getting their starts going in greenhouses or in their home or wherever, they will put a fan on them to actually start to strengthen them up.
Yeah. And I actually do that. I have wind training inside when I'm starting inside. I'll just keep flowing. But it has to be really gradual. You know, it's a transition. And you always have to realize that you're transitioning them into something. And you don't want to hit them all at once with full blast. So you start with, you know, fan setting number one and then up to number two.
Okay. So you actually do that.
I just thought of something else while you're talking about this, is that though a lot of us have our garden planted, or nearly so, it's not too late to keep starting plants, because lettuce, you can do it like every 2 weeks, and I even do more broccoli and so forth. And so all these methods that we're talking about, you could still do.
Okay.
It's not like you're done with it.
Yeah. And within the last week or so, I had a conversation with somebody who's in a wind-protected area who was dealing with fungal diseases in her zucchini. And so maybe the problem she has, because she's growing it outside, not enough breeze to blow out the fungal.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So there are advantages. Okay. Anything else on wind? All right. This is a crazy busy time of year. And I think this year I've noticed it more than most years because it was such a cold winter and the ground froze so deep. And then when it's gotten nice, it's been really nice, followed by, you know, it's 75 or it's raining. We're just having this ridiculous bipolar spring. So anyway, we're all busy, 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 busy. What are the two of you doing in your gardens now? What is the status of your gardens?
Planting or finishing planting, I guess, you know, pretty much. All the transplants and seeds and potatoes, etc., and getting all the onions and leeks in, sifting compost so that you can put that in there, and getting seaweed around in the beds, so that keeps the moisture in.
Okay, so you put seaweed on in the spring as well as in the fall.
I kind of put it, you know, as George says, that's sort of my moisture a little bit. I kind of wrap it around, not like really tight around the plant, let's say all the cabbages, but enough to around the soil so that when I water or rains, it keeps it in.
Okay, so it retains the moisture, and it's a good slow release of micronutrients. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've mostly been waiting around for the wind to die down so I could transplant my plants. It really is, makes starting your garden a lot more difficult when the weather is erratic in the spring, because you don't want to transplant on those days it's really windy, and you don't want to transplant on those days that it's really cold. And you also want to look ahead for the weather forecast for the next few days, because you want it to be pretty stable, the weather.
Yeah. Good luck.
And it's it's absolutely critical, you know, during the hardening off and the transplanting, to do it in the right weather. You know, it's supposed to be a calm, overcast day that's a little warm, you know, the warm, and those happen like once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you end up being really, really busy. Okay, so lots of tasks right now. I like to walk around my garden every day, and this is my goal. It's not what I do. Walk around my garden every day and look and see what needs to be done and do it. But sometimes that doesn't happen. So we're running out of time here. Let's see. Well, we were going to talk about hanging baskets. The bottom line on that is it's too windy to put them out yet, unless it's protected. I've got some begonias that really want to go outside, but I'm waiting. Any kind of pruning that you're doing now?
We're doing a little bit on our apple trees. We put three new ones in, and then some of the older ones we have done a little bit of pruning, right?
Okay. Okay, and it's a good time to trim your strawberries up, take all the dead off. If you've got good strawberries, nice time to thin them out and find a friend who would like some strawberries. Remember that strawberries will cross-pollinate with other varieties, and so if you have like Anway or something, don't put any other strawberries around them. So anyway, I think we're pretty close to out of time. Thank you for joining us today. Good to hear from George and Betsy and the travails of living in the windy areas. Just a reminder that listeners can access old shows on khns.org, Garden Conversation, and send your questions to garden@khns.org. We'd like to involve more people in the program this summer, so if you're willing to come online, please let us know. And you can do that also through garden@khns.org, or you can contact either Mardell or myself.
And did you want to put in a quick plug for the recycling of e-waste?
Well, sure, if I can.
Can't give up that opportunity.
Electronic recycling, Friday, June 1st and Saturday, June 2nd, 10 to 2, both days at the Recycling Center, 2.5 miles Small Tracks Road, 35 cents a pound. There'll be an ad in the paper this week and next with what you can bring and what please do not bring. And okay. We can use volunteers. So
okay.
If you have any questions or want to volunteer, 766-2185 is the number to call to come and help us out. It's a lot of fun. We actually have a good day of it. Last year we did over 16,000 pounds of electronic recycling in 2 days.
Wow.
So yeah, it's busy, but it's fun.
Uh-huh.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that wind, just one thought, that wind will keep the bugs away. The mosquitoes anyway, right?
Yeah.
Makes it a little more pleasant to be out
in the yard.
If
you have problems with bees and wasps, don't go out in your garden dressed like a flower.
Words of wisdom.
From an old almond farmer.
They come and attack you?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.